Welcome. This is Catherine Laguna, Streaming Communications Manager in the Office of Communications at the Diocese of Orlando. Today, we bring you a special presentation from the Faith Fit Radio Studio of the Diocese of Orlando Chancery. During this Faith Fit Radio presentation, I am joined by two young adults with a special calling. Every person has a special calling in life. For some, the vocation may be to live a single life. For others, it may be called to marriage and family. There are teachers, doctors, musicians, but for these two young men, this unique calling is a vocation to the priesthood. During this radio program, we'll get to know these two individuals and the vocation God called out to them by name, but also the answer each had in return. How many of you know the entire process to be ordained a priest? Stay with us as we dive deeper into the vocation to the priesthood. Our special guests today are seminarian John Triolo, who will be starting his second year in pre-theology at St. John Vianney College Seminary. His home parish is Corpus Christi in Celebration. Welcome, John.
Thank you. Thank you, Catherine. It's great to be here.
And also we have seminarian Chris Camerata, who is on his first year in theology studies at St. Vincent de Paul Regional Seminary. His home parish is St. Joseph in Orlando. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Catherine.
Thank you guys for being here on Faith Fit Radio. It's a blessing to have you here so we can learn more about this beautiful vocation and your personal experience on this road to fully completing your studies. So before we begin, Chris, can you lead us into prayer?
Sure, no problem. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of this day and for all the things you do to sustain us in our lives. We thank you for the gift of your Son, especially in the Holy Eucharist, and the Holy Spirit, which constantly inspires us and leads us closer to you. Give us the right words to say as we go through this radio program, and may our listeners be inspired by your movements of the Spirit, and may you always lead them closer to you. We ask this through Christ our Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Chris, for that. So I'll start with John, and then I'll ask you, Chris. So John, please tell our listeners a little about yourself. How old are you? Where did you grow up? Where did you go to school?
Sure, Catherine. So like Catherine mentioned before, my name is John Triolo. I am 23 years old. I was not born and raised here in Florida. I was actually born and raised in New York. That's where I lived for about nine years of my life. And then my family, we decided to transition a little bit to Pennsylvania, just to be in a bigger house and a different environment. So we lived there for about a period of 4 years. And then it was then in about 2006 that my mom got a job here in Central Florida, and then we made the big move here. And I have been here ever since, the past 10 years. And so pretty much I live with my family when I'm not at seminary, my parents, my mom and dad, and my sister, Katie, who is currently a sophomore at St. Mary's College up in South Bend, Indiana, right next to Notre Dame. Go Irish. And but before I entered seminary, I went to West Orange High School, where I spent 4 years there. And then afterwards, I attended UCF, University of Central Florida, and I graduated there with a bachelor's in hospitality management. So I have background in hotels, restaurants, catering, you name it.
Wow, that's pretty neat. Great. And how about you, Chris? Where did you grow up? How old are you? What schools did you go to?
Well, like Catherine said, my name's Chris Camerata. I'm 21 years old, and I was, like John, I was born in New York. I lived in Queens until I was 5 years old, and for similar reasons, my family needed a bigger house, so we moved down to to Florida, settled in Orlando, and lived in Hunter's Creek for about 5 or 6 years. Went to school there, and then moved to where we live now, which is in Lake Nona, and was the first freshman class of Lake Nona High School.
Wow.
Which is where I graduated, and I was going to go to Florida State University. She's shaking her head no.
I'm a Gator, that's why.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, see, I almost went.
Okay.
So
that's
okay.
That's a good point.
Because I was going to study music composition.
Well, that's pretty cool though, because I play the clarinet.
Okay.
Yeah.
And see, the thing about music composition is it's like people always ask me what instruments I play, and I was just the guy who wrote the music. I was not that good at playing. I mean, I could, but...
But that's still very neat. I don't think I really know anybody that writes music, so...
Yeah. It's kind of, you know, seminary gets busy, so... But it's still, it's a fun hobby. So, yeah, that was basically more or less my background.
Wow, that's pretty cool. You guys are very talented people then already. All right, so let's play a game called What's Your Favorite? Are you guys ready?
Ready.
Ready.
Okay, so what's your favorite thing to do in your spare time, John?
Favorite thing to do in my spare time? It has to be obvious. It's going to Disney World. I've been going to Disney World all my life before I moved down here. And yeah, every year when we go on our family vacation, that's what we would do every single year, go to Disney World. That's part of the reason why my family and I moved down here, was just to be near Disney World. And my mom actually does work at Disney right now, and so we, of course, get into free at the park, so I always take advantage of that, you know, when I'm at home. But yeah, I am a Disney mania fanatic.
So what's your favorite theme park in Disney, though?
Probably between Magic Kingdom and Epcot.
Wonderful. I worked there for 8 years at MGM.
Okay, yeah.
Hollywood Studios.
Hollywood Studios.
But we know the true name is MGM. That's okay.
I know, exactly, right? And so, yes, Disney fanatic all the way, John?
Yeah, all the way. My favorite attraction there, the Magic of Disney Animation, the Animation Academy. I'd spend hours and hours drawing Disney characters all day.
Good, okay. And then how about you, Chris?
I think that depends on the day. My favorite thing in my spare time. I mean, I also love Disney a lot, but... this is going to sound like a real old man thing to do, but like I really have started to enjoy just like going on walks, like walking around.
Yeah.
And
that's a healthy thing to do, though.
Well, sure. I mean, healthier would be running. You know, you take what you can. But
exactly.
No. So yeah, I like going on walks. Mostly, it just depends, I think, a lot on who I'm with. I really like just hanging out with people. When I'm with my friends, a lot of times we'll go get coffee together.
Good.
And when I'm home, we'll just watch whatever my siblings are watching. So, yeah, I guess that's kind of my main hobby, is just go with the flow and
you're casual.
Yeah, you know, whatever's going on at the time.
Wonderful. All right, and John, what's your favorite book, movie, or TV show? You name all three or just one?
Ooh, that is tough. The movie that I just saw recently was the new Star Trek movie, which
yes.
was awesome.
I
am, you know, I like Star Wars, but I think I'm totally a Trekkie at heart.
Oh, right? Heart I think
a little
so,
bit.
Too, for
I
me.
Am Mr. Spock all the way. He's my favorite character. But I will just say that the new movie was just amazing. Like, I was just amazed by the special effects and the growth of the characters from the beginning of the first movie when they first rebooted it. For the Star Trek series overall, I'm definitely a fan of the original series, and also Next Generation with Patrick Stewart. Those are two of my favorite TV shows.
Wonderful. And how about you, Chris?
The irony of this is that I'm a big Star Wars fan.
No way.
So it's probably my favorite movie series. But just so that we don't, you know, get into war over
the
radio.
I guess this is why that we're right across
from each
other.
Right, we're across from each other, you know? My favorite book would definitely be The Lord of the Rings.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, I loved The Lord of the Rings. Read it a few times growing up.
Okay, great. Did you like the movies, though?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay, good.
Hobbit,
like, there's always the difference between movie and film, so then sometimes, like, the reader doesn't like what happened in the movie, so you're good with both, though.
Yeah.
Okay, so then, John, what is your favorite musical artist?
I don't listen to music too often, but some of the type of artists I do listen to on frequent basis are definitely the Beatles. I was grew up with Beatles with my dad, and I'm a big Paul McCartney fan. I saw him actually in Orlando a couple years ago over at the Amway Arena, and that was truly an amazing experience. But I do like different types of jazz music, classical music a little bit. I like listening to Kiss, Coldplay.
Good.
Yeah, just to name a few.
And how about you, Chris?
I'll listen to mostly anything, but I would say probably one of my favorite artists was always Queen. I really loved Queen. Mostly just because it was hard to not have fun when you listen to Queen. but, I mean, I have definitely other favorite artists, too. I really like Styx. I really like Dream Theater. So, yeah.
All right. That's good. Now, do any of you follow a sports team or like a sports in general, John?
I like playing them. I grew up watching the New York Mets and the New York Yankees quite a bit growing up, but not so much anymore on a regular basis watching sports and TV. But I do like to go out. and, you know, play basketball on occasion with some of my seminarian friends on occasion. I do like golfing a little bit. I'll play some golf with my dad on occasion. And I do love swimming and biking. Those are my two frequent sports that I participate
great.
In.
Chris?
Favorite sport and team? Growing up, we were definitely a New York team household. We were the Yankees and the Giants. Now living in Orlando, you kind of have to like Orlando City. It'd be hard to not like Orlando City. But favorite to play, definitely running. I did that in high school. But I also really like soccer.
Did you do track and field or cross country?
Both.
Oh.
I was a distance guy.
That's good. Yeah. Incredible. So then what's your favorite subject in school, John?
I was definitely really big into math.
You do look like a mathematician.
I don't have my glasses on. when I was in high school, I had a really good math teacher who I had for 2 years. He was my calculus teacher. And for some reason, I really enjoy doing hard calculations. And
we're not going to talk to you anymore, John. Okay.
And then God saved him, and he became...
Hallelujah.
And what's your favorite subject in school, Chris?
Well, like I said, music was what I was going into, mm-hmm. so I really enjoy music, but I also really enjoy linguistics and language study. So I'd probably actually say that that's my favorite. And a lot of the stuff we learned in seminary is great, too.
Of course.
Yes.
I mean, I was a nerd in school, so. among those, linguistics and language study definitely has a special place in my heart.
Okay, good. And so, all right, to take it a little bit more deeper and a little spiritual journey now, what would you say is your favorite saint, John?
Well, I have many favorite saints that I pray to often and ask for your intercession for, but I would say my favorite is one that we just celebrated a couple weeks ago, and he's, of course, the patron saint of my seminary that I attend, St. John Vianney, and he's a beautiful saint. He is the patron of priests. We just celebrated him on August 4th, August 4th, and he's just a beautiful intercessor of mercy, and I pray to him often, just asking for perseverance in my vocation, and he's a great person for any young man discerning a vocation to, you know, learn about his life and, you know, how he persevered, you know, in his seminary formation. And I really look up to him.
Okay. Thank you for sharing. And Chris, what is your favorite saint?
Well, like John, I have a lot of favorite saints, but I'll pick a saint that I think people are probably less likely to say. My favorite saint, I'll say St. Francis Xavier. He was a contemporary of St. Ignatius of Loyola, one of the founders of the Jesuits. And also, he was called the greatest apostle since Paul. He traveled halfway around the world through a lot of Asia and as a missionary. And he learned a lot of languages, which is another reason I really like him.
Mm-hmm.
And just his spirit, his passion, he really took the message of Ignatius to heart to set the world afire for Christ. And that's always been a big inspiration for me. And his feast day is in December, so still got a few months. But I really like his story.
That's good. Beautiful. Thank you. So, okay, so let's just get into a little bit more about your vocation and how you fell in love with this spiritual journey that you're in right now and becoming a priest. So, John, did you always have a calling to become a priest, or was there more to it?
Reflecting on my vocation now, from now to the past, I feel like somehow I was always called in a way to become a priest. From the time my mom can recall, when I was 3 years old and pretending to say mass with my pretend food and toys, and I used to pretend like all my different action figures were part of the congregation. So that was from the earliest time, but even from now, my vocation to the priesthood really blossomed when I moved down to Florida in 2006, like I mentioned, and my family and I, we joined our parish that we are currently, Corpus Christi Parish, in celebration, and that was a huge focal point of how my vocation got formed. It was there, when we joined, our parish was just newly formed. It was formed in 2005 by our former bishop, Archbishop Wenske, and we didn't even have a church building at the time. We were actually celebrating Mass in a in the high school cafeteria in celebration. And so you can say that our church then was called the Churchateria, if you want to put it in that way. When we first joined, we just immediately connected, and I think it was just through the people, the warm hospitality when we entered into the parish. But really, it was through our founding pastor then, Father Gregory Parks, who is now currently Bishop of Pensacola, Tallahassee. But he was, I would say, the one that helped shape and form my vocation. He was just a great role model to me. Every time I watched him celebrate Mass, he was, I can just see such reverence, such joy and love for being a priest. And I saw that every time he celebrated the Eucharist at Mass. And so it was then shortly after I joined my parish, that I became an altar server. And immediately we had our first training, and Father Gregory was at that training. And I can remember him telling me and the other new servers that, you know, how important of ministry it is to be an altar server and to be, you know, close to where, you know, Christ becomes real to us, body, blood, soul, and divinity. And he was just very calm and warm and welcoming to us, you know, was just, you know, comforting us. And, you know, if we do make a mistake at the altar, you know, no one's gonna notice. And, you know, and the liturgy will, you know, be just fine, you know, even if you just make that one mistake. But again, he was truly a role model in my vocation. And so it was then, I think when I first got my call became real was actually a few years later when our parish building was actually formed. And it was in about 2010 in January, and we had a big dedication mass and celebration for the dedication of our new church building. And it was after just years of prayer and stewardship that our and thanks to the generosity and ministry of the parishioners that our parish was formed. And so it was at the dedication mass, and I had the great honor of serving at that dedication mass. And of course Bishop Wenske was the celebrant, and Father Gregory was there, and a whole bunch of priests from the diocese came to witness this beautiful celebration. And so it was there I was altar serving, and it was as I was lining up to start the Mass, just a priest came up to me and a couple other of the male servers, and it just so happened to be Father Miguel Gonzalez, who was the then vocations director for our diocese. And so he just came, with his warm presence, he just came right up to me with his warm smile, and he just popped the question right then and there. Have you ever thought about becoming a priest? And I paused right then and there, and I was like, me? A priest? I felt, at that time, like, so many emotions were just going through my head. Like, I felt like I wasn't called to, like, part of me was like, I'm not called to it, you know, I'm not worthy to, you know, I'm not worthy, I'm not even holy enough to think about becoming a priest. And it just right then and there, it made me ponder a lot, you know, what kind of God was calling me right then and there to do it.
Okay, so Chris, in the beginning, what was the appeal or interest you had in becoming a priest? Has it changed?
So in the beginning, I would say that my draw to becoming a priest was just a really great love for the Eucharist. It was kind of part of my own vocational story that when I met with Father Jorge Torres, who's our current vocation director, that we were talking about the Eucharist in his office, and I was very moved by it, and just the role that the priest has in the sacrifice of the Mass. But it was also, I think, a very well-meaning, nascent, but well-meaning desire to help people. And the longer I've been in seminary, the more that I see how that's developed and, I guess, matured, how God really becomes everything in the life of a seminarian and, God willing, a priest. It's really opened my eyes to the love of God that always surrounds us. in a way, kind of very sacramental. It's a it's a visible sign of an invisible reality. And I see that a lot in the things around me now. And it's, so in a way, it's kind of Eucharistic, the way that just like everything, God just continues to draw me in, continues to pull me further in along that path of just of loving him and wanting to give myself completely and really expend myself and be a constant witness to his love, to burn with love for him, and be a witness to that love. So it's amazing to see just over the course of the journey how it's continued to grow and mature and develop.
Yeah, and I would say you're so young now, but do you think that the calling was for you a lot younger than now?
I think that I got the first inkling of maybe, you know, priesthood's pretty cool. Like, probably around maybe my first communion, when I first thought, okay, well, you know, what a priest does, that's really neat. And then as I got a little older, I started to mature in my faith a lot. I was blessed to have a good family that's really raised me well in my faith. And priesthood started to become more and more interesting. Then getting to high school, it's kind of, I guess, it got put to the wayside a little. And but what really always got to me was how, because I didn't struggle academically. I did pretty well with what was in front of me. And I had tried different things in high school. I did track and field, and then I did theater and chorus in my last 2 years. And I loved it. But what really always got to me was, it was like I couldn't find my pearl of great price. I couldn't find something to really just give myself to. Like, what put the fire in my belly? Mm-hmm. And I really couldn't find that. And so it wasn't until towards the end of high school as I started to kind of go back to the big questions, which happens, I think, around that time in life, especially because of the transition to college. And the way that my vocation reawakened was it was really interesting the way that happened. It was definitely the grace of God, because I was accepted to FSU, and I was going to audition for the School of Music. So we went up for the weekend, packed a car, and went up. And that morning, it was a Saturday morning, I'll never forget, and I was a nervous wreck because
of course, it's the first time in college.
Right, and you got the audition, and you know, so all these things are on my mind, and it's Saturday morning, and I say, you know what, Mary, today is Saturday, today is your day. Whatever happens this day, I consecrate it to you, I put it in your hands, and just, you know, take it, basically. You take it, Mom. And I go into the audition, and the audition finishes, and I say, well, you know, thank you for coming, thank you for your performance, but based on this technicality when you performed, we can't accept you. And they rejected me on the spot.
Wow.
So that was pretty crushing. And but, you know, of course, the first thought in my head at that point is, you know, thanks, Mom. But then it was in that moment, really, we were just about to get back to go to Orlando. We're getting in the car to drive back home. And I was like, wait a minute, I want to check out the church, because there's a church right across the street from the campus. And I think getting into the church, it was funny, because getting into the church, the first thought that I had in my head was, I want to see the vocation director. And I maybe heard the word vocation director once in my life. Mm. I think what was on my head at the time, was, okay, clearly I have no idea what I need to be doing with my life. And, you know, vocation, that's what we're supposed to be doing. So I was a little naive. Long story short, I did eventually find the vocation director when I came back to Orlando, and that was when I met Father Jorge. So, yeah, it's an interesting journey, and it's funny the way that happens, but God always will meet us in the moment where we are and just constantly looking for ways to reel us in, and I think that's really been a big part of my vocational journey.
Good. That's beautiful. Thank you. So, John, can you please tell our listeners the process of becoming a priest?
Well, the process of becoming a priest, it's not that easy exactly, but it is a very long process nonetheless. So there's pretty much two different types of programs when you first enter into the minor seminary, which is the first seminary you go to study philosophy before you move on to the major seminary to study theology. There's some seminarians that go directly out of after graduating high school to attend seminary, And from their first year at seminary till the very end when they become a priest, that whole span takes about 9 years. And that not throughout those 9 years of formation, you not only begin to take, your philosophy credits in the beginning, and as well as your general education credits, for math, science, social studies, et cetera. But then you move into theology. And so that's pretty much that 9 year process is for those who go right out of high school. And the other type of seminary, which is like myself, like I mentioned before in the program, before I went to seminary, I graduated with a degree in hospitality over at UCF. So my level of formation is a little bit different. I'm what you consider right now in the pre-theology program, or a pre-theologian, if you want to put it for short. And so my span of formation is just a little less than the collegiate, those who go right out of high school. My formation will be about a 7-year process from beginning to end. I just finished my first year of formation in pre-theology program, so I have about 6 more years left in my formation program. And so, God willing, this year will be my last year at St. John Vianney College, where in the end I will be graduating with another bachelor's degree. For those who are in the pre-theology program, after you finish 2-year process of formation where you earn your philosophy credits, you get a bachelor's degree in philosophy. So you get another bachelor's degree in your resume, if you want to put it that way.
Nice.
And from then you move on to the major seminary, which is St. Vincent de Paul up in Boynton Beach, and then you finish your remaining 5 years study of theology. And so you study 4 years of theology at the seminary itself, and that and then the extra year is a pastoral year where you work at one of the various parishes within the diocese, just as kind of like a little internship, if you want to put it that way. And
good.
That's where you kind of put your ministry and all your studies, into practice before you head off into the mission field and become a priest.
Okay, that's great. So, Chris, tell me a little bit about your courses of study. Now, you've taken a little bit of theology here and there, so is there a particular course you're very interested, a class or a teaching of the church that intrigues you?
I think that it's hard not to fall in love with all of it, especially when you put your heart into it. Some people, maybe philosophy, maybe a bit more of a bit more reservation there. I clung to it pretty quickly, and I've certainly loved the theology studies because, really, in the end, theology is studying about God, and you want to know more about the person you love. So that's really what it is. I'll say that I really have a lot of love for St. Augustine. And there's a phrase which one of my professors in seminary would repeat from time to time from Augustine, which is, "Gold is yours wherever it is to be found." And what Augustine speaks of there is how basically the grace of God is wherever you look, if you only have the eyes to see it. And I see that so much in seminary, in my own formation, in my own time, just growing in relationship with God, that the way that God... if you've ever seen Bizarre Foods, he'll go to these different places and they say they eat the whole cow, like the hooves and all. And
yeah.
I know it's a little gross, but in a way it's kind of like what God does, how God will use everything that we offer to him as long as we offer it to him. And he'll really take all of that and use it for our sanctification and his greater glory. And I see that a lot in seminary. So that's something that's personally meant a lot to me.
Okay, great. So, John, do you have a specific devotion you are dedicated to, a prayer such as Liturgy of the Hours or a saint? And how has this devotion assisted you in your spiritual growth?
I think for me personally, there's many different types of prayer that I like to partake in my own spiritual life. One of the devotions that you've just mentioned was the Liturgy of the Hours, and that's a very important devotion and type of prayer that we do in the seminary as a seminarian community. And Liturgy Hours, for those of you who don't know, it's also known as the Divine Office, but it's basically just it consists of
the prayer of the church.
The prayer of the church, yeah, exactly, if you want to put it that put it that way, which it is. Yeah. It's the prayer of the church, and so all the, you know, all the priests throughout the world pray this prayer, pray these prayers, which is in the Divine Office liturgy hours, and consists of psalms and readings each day, which are different, and they're just beautiful words, which are, you know, which the psalms are. It's a beautiful way of praying and reflecting upon God's, you know, infinite goodness, His mercy, and His love, love towards one of us. I think really the devotion that is particular to me is just the devotion of attending Mass. Now, you may say, you know, attending Mass, is that really a devotion? Well, you know, if you devote yourself to it with all your heart, mind, and soul, it really is a devotion.
And Chris, do you have a specific devotion you're dedicated to?
Well, I gotta agree with what John says about the Mass. It's definitely the source and summit of our day and all of our prayer. And obviously there are many other things which are very important to the life of a seminarian and a priest, liturgy of the hours, of course, and the holy hour, and also other things which I think are very indispensable, like the rosary. A particular practice for me that is really, I've really grown into a lot, especially in these past months, was Lectio Divina. And especially the technique of combining Lectio Divina with what St. Ignatius of Loyola would call imaginative contemplation, which is basically picturing the scene that you're reading from Scripture within your mind, kind of trying to step into the scene and listening to the way that Jesus speaks to you, or the Holy Spirit, or whatever is happening in that scene, listening to the way that the Lord speaks to you in that moment, in that passage. And that's been a really, really great help in my spiritual life. And the way that Jesus communicates His particular love for me is beautiful. And from that, I think I've also gained a much deeper and much more real devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, which is really at the heart of the priesthood, of what it means to be a priest, to have a heart which burns for God as God's heart burns for us.
I really enjoy Lectio Divina myself. I use it when I reflect and pray on the sacred readings that we hear at Mass, both in daily Mass and even especially on the weekend Mass, to prepare myself for, you know, the Sunday celebration. I think, you know, for those who are looking for a particular devotion, you know, they feel that, you know, they're very, what you say, you know, very dry in their spiritual life. I think Lectio Divina is a great devotion to partake in, you know, wherever your spiritual life is.
Good. And so now to the Year of Mercy. So, ever since Pope Francis declared an extraordinary Jubilee of Mercy, Catholics have performed different corporal and spiritual works of mercy. So how has the Year of Mercy impacted or shaped your relationship with God and others? And I'll start with Chris.
Well, like I mentioned just before, I really have grown an appreciation for imaginative contemplation, and the way that I've seen the message of God's mercy in a special way this past year come into my life is I go back sometimes to the image of the Good Shepherd and you know, carrying the lost sheep on his shoulders. And now, I'm not a shepherd, I don't have sheep, but I do have a dog, actually a puppy, and I always think of the way that, how, like, my puppy, when she wants attention or love, how she flops her head in my lap and she kind of just looks at you with puppy dog eyes, and it's like completely endears you, and it's like almost impossible to not give her something, you know, just pat her on the head, give her something mm-hmm. in that moment, 'cause it's just like, you're so cute. And so anyway, so I think about that, how like God has that same sort of endearing love for us, how He sees us and He's so enamored with us, and He so desires us to be with Him, and the lengths that He'll go to reach out to us, and how, you know, we think we have to seek God out, and really he's you know, He's right there, He's with us the whole time if we would just turn around and see Him there, and He'll just carry us all the way. And He has that very deep, very personal, very real love for us. So I think that's just something that's really touched me in this Year of Mercy is especially that image of the Good Shepherd, seeks out his sheep.
Do you think there's a particular corporal or spiritual works of mercy that you've partaken more often?
In this year of mercy, I would say that one that I think I've gained more appreciation for is part of what we do in our seminary formation is we get what we call apostolic assignments, which is where during the week we'll go out and we'll serve the local church in some way. For me, when I was in seminary, my last apostolic ministry was religious education, teaching high schoolers for confirmation, which was challenging but very rewarding. And one of the spiritual works of mercy is instructing the ignorant, and that was something I really clung to a lot. This summer, I also had another ministry opportunity to make visits in a retirement home. Their life stories were so... It was just so beautiful to just hear the way how, like, in a very ordinary life, how God really just moves all throughout a person's life and establishing that real one-to-one connection. Because I think sometimes when we serve people, we, in our goodwill, we kind of forget that this is just like a person and we're relating to them. And this is a person on the other side of this ministry that we're doing. And I think that ministry really opened my eyes to see in a how... there is always a personal element involved in that ministry, and having these connections with these people. And you know, at the end of that assignment, I gave them my address and was like, "If you ever want to write, you know where to find me."
Yeah.
And so the real personal element of it, that's something that I think has been big for me. So those two works of mercy.
Oh, right, no, that's great. All right, so I've heard from different seminarians that there's summer projects going around, and I did hear something about a silent retreat. So, Chris, the silent retreat was in Nebraska?
Right. So, where I was for the summer was Omaha, Nebraska, for the Institute of Priestly Formation, it's called. In the Diocese of Orlando, the way we normally send, we'll send guys there for the summer between their philosophy and theology studies. So that's where I was. Part of the program is an 8-day silent retreat, which takes place right near the beginning of the summer. And I can honestly say that was a life-changing experience. And now I had done silent retreats before. We have them in seminary. The longest I think I've been on was 5 days, maybe. Mm. This was kind of at a totally different level, not just because it was longer, but also because it was more silent. There were not a lot of conferences. We met for one conference each day, and then you had the whole rest of the day. Well, we met for Mass.
Mm-hmm.
And then you basically had the whole rest of the day to yourself to pray. You had 4 holy hours that you pray each day, spiritual direction each day as well. I guess I would say it wasn't necessarily because I was on a silent retreat per se, but it was just understanding, like, this is God's time to just really bring about his victory in me, and being cognizant of that, and letting him really win that victory in mm-hmm. me, of just showing me who I am in his eyes, the way that he loves me, the way that he desires me to love him, and to serve him in, God willing, the ministry of priesthood. It was a really beautiful experience. And, you know, in Nebraska, there's not really a lot out there. No offense to any of our listeners from the Midwest. But, you know, it's kind of a great environment for a silent retreat because there's not too much out there to distract
it's
you.
It's very different from Orlando.
Right, yeah. And so, you know, you just, what else do? You just pray.
You pray. Yeah. Hey, grow closer to God.
Yeah, and it was a really beautiful experience. And IPF is a really great program. The whole rest of the summer, it really builds upon a lot of the themes, or at least I found for me that a lot of the summer built upon what happened in the 8-day for me. And really understanding the spirituality of the diocesan priest, the role that celibacy plays, the role of, like, his different identities in Christ as a beloved son, a chaste spouse, a wounded healer, a good shepherd, a spiritual father, and seeing all of that, the way that comes into play. And it was a really great summer. It was a really great summer. A lot of blessings.
Good. I think I'm going to have to give a silent retreat a go.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Yeah. Start small. And, you know, start small, start simple. And you'll see it's kind of like flexing a muscle.
That's good.
Yep.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you. So, John, what were you up to during your summer assignment?
So my first summer assignment, I had the great honor and privilege of being a camp counselor for the summer camps over at the San Pedro Retreat Center.
Cool.
And it was a great joy to be able to minister to different kids of all age levels. The theme of this year's camp was May the Faith Be With You.
Yes.
That's a point
Star
for me.
Wars.
I know, right? I was like, can I go? And then it's like the cutoff age was so young. I'm like, okay, never mind.
I know. But anyways, you know, Star Wars and the faith, you know, they both, you know, like it,
great
like,
mixture.
What can go better, you know?
Yeah.
So it was, so the whole theme of the camp, you know, was centered around Star Wars, and each week theme to, you know, to help the kids become better disciples and to be better Jedis, if you want to put it. Mm-hmm. So like one of the weeks was, we had was called the Catholic Jedi Academy. It was an overnight week at camp where the kids learn how to become Jedis or missionary disciples and to be able to be faithful disciples and kids, boys and girls of prayer, joy of love, especially in this year of mercy. It was just a great privilege. One of my jobs was being able to do some of the teachings with the kids, and it was a great witness for me to just know how well knowledgeable some of the kids are in the faith, in the faith, because a lot of the kids surprisingly attend Catholic schools within our diocese, and it's a great joy to see how well Catholic education has been a part of them within their lives. Another great joy of my assignment was being able to interact with the Franciscan friars who run the camp, and I had the great joy of being able to attend daily mass with them a couple days of the week, where they celebrate mass daily at the chapel over at San Pedro, and it was just I really gained it from that experience. Just how much joy and love that they have in their vocation as and friars, especially in the vows that they make. As Franciscan friars, they make vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience, and it's a great joy to see a different side of them, both in their apostolic work, but also especially in just daily recreation and conversation that I've had with them, how they're normal human beings like us. We have our moments of struggle and temptation, but yet they all share a loving call to serve God and His church.
Okay, Chris, this is for you. How has your time in the seminary changed you? I know there's a lot of tighter community of brothers there too, so is there anything you would like to share on that?
It's funny how when you talk to guys about seminary, a lot of times you'll hear like the best and the worst thing about seminary is the community life, and it's fine, you'll laugh at it. It's absolutely true, because it's funny, like in a way, not exactly, but in some ways it is, living in a sort of fishbowl where you're a limited space around you, and you're sharing a smaller living space together with a bunch of guys. And it really brings out some of the better parts of seminary, having authentic friendships where you can grow together in Christ. There's a saying in Spanish, which is, dime con quien andas y diré quien tú eres.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me who you are. Tell me who you walk with, and I'll tell you who you are. And I think that's very true in seminary. And you see how, positivity creates positivity, negativity creates negativity. Also elements of seminary, which can be a bit more challenging, because you are living in a house of roughly 80 guys, and that comes with all the perks of living in a house with 80 guys, which means sharing the bathroom with 80 guys and trying to find quiet space in a house full of 80 guys. So, but it's all, I think, a great joy, especially if you're doing it remembering why you're there, remembering that you're all there for the same reason, and walking with the Lord in it. So I think that's definitely something that I've really grown a deep appreciation for, is true Christian fraternity. And I think on the flip side of that, another thing that I've really gained a tremendous appreciation for is silence, because it's just, silence is the language of God. It is the space in which he speaks to us, and the space in which he transforms us in his love. And how it's possible to maintain a disposition of silence even when you're speaking, just because it's having a listening heart, a listening attitude. As you can tell, I'm still carrying that silent retreat with me a bit. But, you know, you see the way that, that becomes a part of your life in some ways, developing a listening heart, which is really the heart of Mary. How, you know, she has that perfect receptivity to God, and she's really a mother to all priests and all seminarians, and she gives us, and desires to give us more, that heart that she has, which is always listening to God and is willing to say yes to him. And it really inspires me in the way that I interact with others. But how it's kind of, in a way, how in the end it comes back to just that the interior space with God, which allows you to go out into that exterior space to love others. But always starting in the heart, and really how every church and monastery and cathedral and shrine in the world is really an icon of the human heart, which lives in that relationship with God.
Good. Mm-hmm. Okay, so John, if there are any single Catholic men listening to this radio program, what advice would you give them if he is discerning the call to the priesthood?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sure, you know, if you ask Chris as well, or even any other seminarian, you know, we would have different answers, and we would even have similar answers that would, you know, share in common. But I would say for any Catholic man who is really serious about growing in a relationship with God, and especially, you know, if it is through the priesthood or religious life, if it is their call, they need to be really truly men of prayer, and not just prayer, you know, where we say, you know, an Our Father, three Hail Marys every day, but our prayer should really be a conversation with God, and that's really what prayer is, the definition of prayer is. And I would say for any young man is to really develop a relationship with God, and to really converse you know, with God, who is our Abba, our Father, and, you know, especially communicate and pray through, you know, his Son, Jesus Christ, who by his passion and death, you know, redeemed us and saved us. And so, you know, pray without words, just in silence, and just let the silence and let Jesus enter into your hearts.
Okay. And so, Chris, I think you have something to say for those who are discerning the call too, right?
Sure, yeah. 'Cause it happens a lot where a lot of people, regardless of, you know, age or whether they're men or women, they want to know what God is. They want to know what God wants for them, and they just don't know what to do. So I guess just three practical pieces of advice that I've seen really help me and others in their discernment journey. First, and echoing what John said, a real love for the sacraments, especially the Eucharist, and reconciliation. There is nothing more important that you can do on any day than to meet Jesus in the Mass. And it is the most beautiful, the most impactful thing that you can do on any day. It's beautiful. And reconciliation, of course, plays a big role in that. It purifies that love that you have for Jesus and helps you to grow in that relationship with him. So that would be my first practical tip. And second practical tip is just take one step. If maybe you go to Mass once a week and you want to start going to Mass more, then take one step. Go to daily Mass once a week and work from there. God will meet you there and help you to grow in that. Maybe you're not thinking about a religious vocation, but there's this girl that you're really interested in and you don't know what to do. So take one step. Talk to the girl. So, you know, it kind of applies for a lot of different things.
Yes.
But take one step. Maybe you've thought about the vocation before, but you don't really know what a priest does. How does it work? What's it like? take one step. See if you can find a vocation night or a vocation group that meets somewhere around the diocese. We're blessed to have plenty of opportunities for that in our diocese. And just go to one. Go to one and see what happens. Take it one step at a time. God will meet you in that one step that you take. You know, you don't have to 100% commit or even 50% commit. It's just as long as it's one step at a time, and God will work with that. So that's the second. And then the third and last one is go to God and ask him, what do you want from me? What do you want from me? And in our culture, unfortunately, there's a bit of a tendency today to make people believe that we are the pilot of our lives. And you hear that a lot in like self-help. You're like, you are the pilot of your life. Fortunately, that's not the truth. There's a God in the universe and it's not me. And God does have a plan for each one of us. And he loves us so much that he knew that out of the entire history of the human race from start to finish, of all the places in the world that you could have lived in and all the people that you could have known, that across the entire history of salvation, he knew that the time and the place and the social atmosphere that you were born and raised into was the moment that he could love you the best and you could love him the best. That was the space that he knew would be the greatest moment for your salvation. So he has a plan. And just even if it's just asking just once a day or even just once at all, God, what do you want from me? That was really how my return to my vocation began, was saying, God, what do you want from me? I don't know. And recognizing that and being okay with not knowing and trusting God. And it's amazing if you just give God a little space, it's amazing the big things that he can do. So those are my little practical tips that I've seen.
Good. Well, thank you for joining us on Faith Fit Radio, John and Chris. Since we are wrapping up now, John, could you lead us into prayer, please?
Absolutely, Catherine. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
God, you are the potter. We are the clay. You are the creator of unfailing light. Give that same light to those who call to you. May our lips praise you, our work give you honor, and our voices celebrate you forever. Lord, we thank you for gathering us here today. We especially ask for your prayers on all those young men who are discerning a call to the priesthood, and especially to any young woman who is maybe called to the religious life. Lord, we ask that you send your blessings upon all those who are discerning a vocation. Let your Holy Spirit guide and enter within these people's hearts. And so we conclude by asking the intercession of Mary as we pray. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Thank you so much. And again, this is Kathy Laguna, Streaming Communications Manager in the Office of Communications at the Diocese of Orlando. And also, we've been joined by seminarians John Triolo and Chris Camerata. We are thankful for all of you for joining us today. Have a blessed day. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.